Who doesn't love hearing travel stories? There is something so fascinating about travel, learning more about cultures and discovering places we've never been. This is your host, Ashley Kelly, certified health coach, fitness trainer, and travel expert. I'm so excited for you to join me, as well as my guests, on this 25 to 45 minute show every Monday to discover how people around the world travel, as well as what they do to stay healthy and sane during their journeys. We'll join models, flight attendants, businessmen and women, and activists as they share stories on their experiences, lifestyles, health and travel secrets, and what they do to travel well. It's going to be a wild ride. Can't wait to meet you there. So I'm excited to welcome you to the show. Ingrid Hawkins, she's the owner of Passport and Wine Bottles. It's a travel consulting company. She helps mid-career professionals travel internationally. Welcome, Ingrid. Can you tell me more about your company?
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me. Yeah, sure. Passport and Wine Bottles was created, officially created last year, 2018, and it came from my passion for traveling and wine tasting. And I've been traveling for, over 10 years, over 15 probably, I don't know. But I've been to about 30 countries, and I am just excited to encourage people and inspire people, especially those who are, in corporate jobs, mid-career professionals who've never traveled before. I'm excited to encourage them to actually get their passport stamped and along the way, enjoy a couple of glasses of wine with me as well.
Nice. So a lot of your clients, is this the first time they've been traveling internationally?
So far, I do have several clients that have gone. They have signed up for trips with me for the very first time to go internationally. Mm-hmm. But the majority of my clients right now have been people that I have personally traveled with before. Mm-hmm. So, and they just like to know, because I've been to some of these countries that I'm going to, that I've set up some group travel to. So they like the familiarity, and they like the fact that, I'm kind of know what I'm doing and where I'm going. So, but that's also to say that, the people who've never traveled internationally find some comfort in that as well. So, yeah.
Okay. So, what are some countries that are really popular with you right now?
With me, I have to say Greece is probably the number one popular country. And mm-hmm. I think it's because I've personally been to Greece 3 times. Mm-hmm. And I am already planning to go next year. I'm going this year. I absolutely love Greece. So that's probably the most popular country that people, ask me about. And then the next popular one is actually Cuba. I've actually been to Cuba twice. So I don't do trips to Cuba because it's a little tricky, but I will definitely advise and consult people who are interested in going to Cuba on how to maneuver through, going to Cuba under, one of the 12 reasons that you can go. So, but I don't put together trips for Cuba because it's a little tricky.
Okay. So what about Greece that people, and especially you, what do you love about it? What makes you keep going back?
Well, first of all, what most people don't know is that, Greece is more than Santorini and Mykonos and Athens. I can't even remember the exact number, 6,000 islands in Greece. Mm-hmm. So I'm just one of those who's curious about off the beaten path things. And so I'm 6,000 islands, and everybody just talks about those two, Mykonos and Santorini. I want to see the others. So I've actually seen, I've seen more than Mykonos and Santorini. I'll say that. I'm not even sure how many other islands, but I found beauty in those, just like people find in, you know, the pictures of Santorini and Mykonos, but there's beauty elsewhere in Greece. And the people in Greece are so welcoming, so friendly. They love Americans. And then probably my biggest draw to Greece, and I'll admit, is the food. The food. The wine is okay. I can tolerate the wine, but the food is a number one.
So what's a dish that you need to have every time you're there? Okay. Is there something you go to?
Absolutely. I coined it, you know, the cheese and what do they call it? They call it, it's hummus to us, but they call it something else. I can't think of what it is right now, but I go on the cheese and hummus food tour when I'm in Greece. Everywhere I go, I get the fried cheese and I get some hummus. I mean,
that sounds good.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you know, everything is so fresh and just it's great. And then the seafood. I mean, you can't beat the seafood. It's super duper fresh. I mean, like the restaurants just caught it like that morning and you're eating lunch. You know, you're having fresh fish for lunch. I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah.
So get the cheese and hummus if you're going to Greece.
Oh, absolutely. The fried feta. Oh, gosh. Yes, it's amazing. With honey drizzled over. Oh, my goodness.
You're like, I just want to go back right now.
I know.
So you're also into wine. So it's traveling and also wine tasting. So how did you get into wine tasting?
Well, that's actually kind of funny too. I think I'm just one of those people who, you know, likes different. I think everybody, when they're in college, they try the, you know, the staple wine that you have, or that you can afford when you're in college.
Right.
You know, nice little cheap Boone's Farm. And yeah, I was on that. I had my stint with Boone's Farm wine. But fast forward several years, and I just realized that, you know, walking through a grocery store or a wine store, liquor store, whatever, all of the bottles of wine. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, why are there so many, you know, and how do you choose one? So after that, I actually went to a restaurant or a bar, I can't remember exactly, and I decided to order a glass of wine. And the waiter was like, well, what kind? And I had no idea. I was like, oh, well, okay. And so after that, I started going to wine tastings. And I was actually a member of a wine tasting group here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's no longer in operation now, but it was specifically for African Americans. It was the African American Wine Tasting Society. And it just made, you know, it made me a little more comfortable asking for specific types of wine, introducing me to types of wine, how to pronounce the wines,
right,
which was a challenge too, and even how to, you know, what wines to eat with what food. And I just found it all fascinating because wine comes from grapes. I mean, like simple grapes, and there's so many different varieties of wine, and I was just fascinated with how that one fruit could yield so many different types and tastes of wine. And that's where it started. So now I am probably amongst my friends, I'm definitely the one that they come to find out about, you know, what wine do I take to a, you know, a party, or what wine should I order? And I actually help people maneuver through wine lists. That's something else that I do in my business. When they go out to a restaurant, how to read through a wine list and determine, you know, maybe what wine would go well with what food that they're having. So, yeah.
That is tricky too, especially if the waiter isn't sure either, or it's not on the menu. You're kind of like, ooh, okay.
Yes, it is. It's very tricky when they when they don't know. And, you know, I like to make the waiter or waitress feel comfortable, because it is something, as a waiter or waitress, that they should know. And the, I believe, my opinion is that the owner of the restaurant or the manager or whatever needs to do a little bit more training so that at least, mm-hmm. especially if they have a wine list, because every waiter and waitress should be able to recommend something on the list, even if they aren't wine drinkers. So,
right.
Yeah.
And it would be fun too. Yeah. You could have a training and a tasting. And
exactly.
Something I think most of them would have a fun time with.
I agree. Right. Yeah. Nothing like a good old tasting.
Right. It sounds fun to me at work. So what's your favorite wine, like red and white? Do you have like a certain favorite or for each?
It's hard to say because I will drink almost anything. But I go through spells where, like right now, I'm drinking Sauvignon Blanc. You know, and most people are like, oh, that's a summer wine. You're drinking it in the winter. But, you know, I'm a unique person. I drink what my palate wants. And right now, I'm tasting different Sauvignon Blancs from, you know, California and New Zealand mainly. And you know, so that's the white I'm drinking. The red, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm all over the place with the reds. I'm just trying. I like tasting, so I'll taste anything. But mm-hmm. the bottles that I buy, they're probably mostly Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah.
Okay. So what's a sweet wine? I like a sweet red. So what would you recommend me to try? Like, is there a vineyard I should start trying? Or
If you like bubbly types of wine, there's a D'Asti, and I can't remember the name of it. It starts with a B. Batenura, Batenura, I believe. And they have a decent sweet wine. I can't remember what type of wine it is. It's not a Moscato.
Okay.
But it's pretty sweet. And I mean, it's not overly sweet. But it's not in the Moscato family, but it's pretty good. And then there's one called, I know the translation is Sweet Kiss. Bacio Dolce, and I know I screwed that up, but the translation is Sweet Kiss. And
okay.
It's a red wine that's slightly sparkly too, and it's actually pretty good as well. And it's light. It's not, you know, not that you want to drink the whole bottle, but it's not going to get you too intoxicated if you do drink the whole bottle.
Sometimes I think the sweet red wines, they get me because I can keep going.
Yeah.
So they're dangerous for me.
Yes, they are. Yes, they can be. Yes, indeed. They can be.
So you've been travel consulting for 10 years and you've had 30 plus countries.
Yes.
So you've been all over the world. So you're a seasoned traveler.
You know, it's so funny when people say that. And I feel like there's still so much more to see because I think there's, 192 countries, if I'm not mistaken, 93. And I'm like, my little measly 30, you know. But, you know, to some people, a lot of people, I guess, that's a lot of countries. So, and, you know, the other thing is I don't mind repeating country, obviously, because I go to Greece almost every year, it seems. But I don't mind repeating countries because there's so much to see in specific countries. So from that perspective, yes, I travel a lot. And I don't mind going back and repeating countries at all. So I will do that.
I agree. There's so much to see. You can miss so much, even
right.
just going the first time.
Right.
And you're like, oh, wow, I wish I would have, you know.
Exactly.
Visited this place and this place. Yeah, it really does wonders going back, at least the second time.
Exactly.
And really going through. And then going back the stuff that you like, too, because I'm guilty of that, too.
Yeah, me too. I am, too. Do the same thing again and again in a different country. I'm like, oh, you know, whatever.
Hey, you like what you like, right?
You like what you like. Exactly. So.
But it's good to try other things, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but you have a Greece retreat in late August and early September, and you're still taking clients for that as well. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. And actually, this is, I'm calling it a different side of Greece, because as I mentioned earlier, you know, when people think of Greece, they immediately, you know, think of, you know, the blue-topped white buildings in Santorini and Mykonos. And nothing's, I'm not saying anything is wrong with those islands, because they are beautiful and they are worth a visit, definitely. But I want to show people that there's more to Greece. So I am taking, I think right now I have 10 people that I'm taking with me, and I have room for more. We're flying into Athens, and we're going to spend a couple of days in Athens and do some tours. And of course, we're going to eat well. And then we're going to take a short flight over to Crete.
Okay.
Which is the largest island in Greece. I mean, I know people have heard of it, but you don't hear too many people talking about going on, you know, a vacation there. When you talk about going to Greece. So I'm taking, you know, these people to see a different side of Greece via Athens and then to Crete. So we're going to spend, we're going to split our time between those two cities. And, you know, Crete has some beautiful beaches. It's full of history. There's a, you know, a lot of, also there's wine. Greece does have yes, there's wine. So we're doing like a wine dinner. I'm hosting a wine dinner as well in Crete. You know, and the other thing that is amazing about Greece are the sunsets. I mean, the sunsets everywhere, of course, but there's something about the Greece sunsets that is truly, truly breathtaking and amazing. So I am, you know, making sure that all of my guests see that, capture that, experience it, because it's phenomenal. Definitely.
So that's late August and early September.
Right.
You can go on your website to sign up.
Yeah, you sure can. The website is, you know, passportandwinebottles.com, and you can look under the destinations tab, and it's listed there, and you can sign up for that. I have a few more spaces available on that Greece trip. So, yeah.
Okay. And then you have another wine weekend coming up in August or October as well.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's a domestic trip. What I've found is that, you know, people have trouble taking off work or don't feel comfortable taking, taking off work. So what I'm doing is just a long weekend. Portland, Oregon. We're going to the Wilmette wine region, which is known for their Pinot Noirs, which are popular red wines. You can find some sweet ones, but not too many of them are that sweet. But we're going to the Wilmette Valley to actually do a day of tasting. You know, everybody hears about Napa and Sonoma, but, you know, not many people go to the Wilmette Wine Valley in right outside of Portland, Oregon. So we're going to do that the first weekend in October. And also, because I enjoy food, we're going to do a food truck tour.
That's cool.
Yeah. Portland was probably one of the first places that I experienced food trucks. And I'm like, why are people, you know, when I think of a food truck, I think of an ice cream truck. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get ice cream off this truck. But no, they have all kinds of cuisines on these food trucks. I mean, unbelievable. So I thought it would be very interesting to, you know, present that to my guests as well as an option to do the food truck tour. So we're going to do that and visit. I think we're going to probably 7 or 8 different food trucks there. And that should be fun. But yeah, that's the first weekend in October. And you can also go to my website under the destinations tab and sign up for that one as well. I have quite a few. I have plenty of space on that one. So definitely sign up for that if you're interested.
So what kind of food do these food trucks have? Because, you know, people think that you just get, you know, hot dogs or burgers or ice cream. But there's really cool stuff on food trucks that I was seeing. Yes. And I'm like impressed. So
yes. I don't know specifically what food trucks that we're going to go to because I'm letting the tour guide kind of pick that. I'm not going to get into that because they're picking their favorites. And since they're in Portland, they know what their favorites are. Mm-hmm. But when I was there, I mean, there was Korean food. There were poke bowls. There was, Vietnamese cuisine, empanadas, African cuisine. Honestly, I don't think I saw any hot dogs.
Right.
Any of the trucks when I was there. Mm-hmm. You can get spaghetti, cakes, pies. I mean, it's fascinating. It's definitely fascinating. So any cuisine you can think of, they probably have it on a food truck in Portland.
That's the coolest thing it's different. And you've got all of these different types of foods like right in front of you and you don't have to go to different restaurants.
Exactly.
They're just right there.
That's what I like. And, you know, and a lot of times the portion size is so that you can go to different, you know, food trucks and get a little sample from each one. So I definitely like that. Definitely like that.
Yeah, that's a really neat idea. So, food trucks are not what you think anymore.
No, not at all.
No, a lot of gourmet food.
Exactly.
So how long have you been doing Passport and Wine Bottles? How long have you had the company?
I actually officially started the company last October 2018, officially. But I'd been doing trips and facilitating some wine tasting, consulting probably for the past, I don't even know. The wine came in a little later, but I had been doing trips for, almost 10 years. And then I started maybe the past 3 or 4 years, been doing a little bit of wine consulting, just unofficially, not even as a business, just doing it as a, I can do this. And then I decided, might as well start a business. Enlisted some coaches and figured out how to get this up and running as a business. And I created it October 1st, 2018. So yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So what's the best part of having your own business? What do you love about it?
The best part of having my own business is the creativity and the freedom. Like anything goes. If I want to create a trip and a wine tasting and in the Bahamas, which isn't known for wine, I can do that and I can make it happen. Or if I wanted to just, I have the freedom to work from wherever I want to work from. And because I'm, travel consulting, it can be a business trip. So I think the freedom of it all is probably the best aspect. Making my own schedule and working as long or as little as I want. Just to get things done. So the freedom and the creativity behind it all is probably the best things about it.
I think that's really cool that you help mid-career professionals, because a lot of times it's hard for them to take a vacation,
right?
And you're helping them take that vacation.
Yes.
You know,
and I mean, it's amazing because even right now I am full time working on my business, but prior to that, I was in corporate America and I was on, several teams, maybe 5-6 people. And out of us, every team that I was on, out of that team, I was the only person to take all of my vacation.
Wow.
The only person. And I was like, why is that? What's going on? And, to hear people's stories about, I forgot to take my vacation, or I can't take a whole week off, my workload's going to build up, things like that. Or the biggest one is, I don't know how to budget for a travel. I don't know how to plan a trip or anything or something like that. So because I've done it, I think that I, can help out those mid-career professionals who think that they cannot take a trip, but they have all of this vacation and paid time off accruing. And sometimes you lose it. Sometimes it rolls over. I mean, I've worked with several people that have lost 2 weeks of vacation because they did not take it in that year. You know, and after reading some statistics about other places in the world and how they operate when it comes to time off and how we operate as Americans, it's very, very different. And it's the statistics are, I can't even believe them, how we as Americans don't take our vacation days. And, you know, it's mostly the mid-career professionals who feel like they can't. And I just want to help them realize that you can. If it's a priority, you can. And I don't, I specifically want to help people travel internationally, but just taking a vacation is the priority.
Right.
No matter where you go. If you want to spend a week at Disney or a week in LA or San Francisco or whatever, that's absolutely acceptable. But, you know, if you want to do internationally, I can help with that.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Ingrid. So if you would like to sign up for her Athens retreat or her Portland retreat, you can visit passportandwinebottles.com. We're so busy with our everyday lives that we get caught up so much in it that we neglect our self-care. So that's why at the end of every podcast, I do a 2-minute meditation where we can just check in with ourselves and relax and just focus on our breath. Count to 3. And breathe out and count to 3. Breathe in and count to 5. Breathe out and count to 5. Breathe in. Breathe out. Take a deep breath in and let it out. Breathe in and out. Check in with yourself and ask yourself, how am I feeling today? Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. This was an Ashley Kelly Travel Wellness Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about my wellness business, please visit ashleykellywellness.com.